Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am a somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You said you're joking, and then you weren't joking. So which is it? Which side are you on?
Well, I mean, hopefully after this, I'm done answering.
Good. Yeah, let's clear it up for good. You never have to be asked again.
Clear it up for good. I mean, people are going to ask me regardless, but I think the like what you say and what you do and how you mean it. At the time, I was like huge into conspiracies. Everybody's been there. Everybody's been there. Like, yo, what's going on with our world? You know, like you click a YouTube click and it goes like how deep the rabbit hole goes. It's like, yo, you start telling all your friends like, yo, did you see that? Did you watch this video? I'm telling you. And at the time, it was like, you're like innocent in it, but you realize the effect of the power of voice. And even if you believe in that, it's like, don't come out and say that stuff. That's for intimate conversations because perception, how you're received, it just changes. Like, no, I'm actually a smart-ass individual. Like, no, it's just... I was coming out and saying that. So it was like, at the time, just didn't realize the effect. And right. I was definitely, at that time, like, I'm a big conspiracy theorist. You can't tell me anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sorry about all that, for all the science teachers, everybody coming up to me like, I got to reteach my whole curriculum. I'm sorry. I apologize.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Those are the words of Kyrie Irving. Are your kids that influenced by what athletes have to say? And by the way, like, you're going down a YouTube wormhole about conspiracy theories. And now you're referring to yourself as smart. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I teach science in the Lowell area. And I do see this a lot with some students just kind of getting their information from the internet. I've actually had to have like almost a debate with a student whether the earth was flat or round. And all I'm saying is if they hear this stuff from professional athletes or whoever, it's only going to like solidify their belief that they're getting good information from YouTube and stuff. So I think it is kind of harmful because he just has that role model of like, oh, I can just go learn whatever I want and believe it. And it's real. So just want to know what your thoughts are on that.
Does it ever cease to amaze you how dumb certain students are?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating that they get their information from one thing and they just are so set in their beliefs that they're accurate and that they're smart and they're equals with you because they can get information and it's...
Even happens on Facebook. Like, the best is when people put stories up on Facebook and then you see it's from, like, fredsinformation.gov.net.AOL. And then people are like, they don't even look into it. Teacher, that's got to completely suck. That some moron is going to get on YouTube and find some stupid thing and then try to argue with someone with degrees on the matter that's been teaching this stuff. And it's something as simple as the earth's not flat. You got to want to pound your head against the wall.
Yes, sir. There are days where that absolutely happens. So I'm just saying it is out there. And, you need for these guys to do a little bit better job of recognizing that. I've never heard anybody of my students say, yo, Kyrie told me the earth was flat. But the fact that it's out there and it stays out there really makes it hard for us to do our jobs. So have a good morning, guys.
All right.
Well, you have people orbiting this planet in space stations that can see the wider view the planet. It's somewhat round.
Of all the conspiracy theories that are out there, and there's thousands.
People have gone to the moon.
There's this shadow government. The shadow government that everyone's very concerned about now. The idea that Kyrie Irving saying the earth is flat, that seems like something you could refute in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you could also say, this is a guy that dribbles a basketball for a living. That's what's fascinating about all this stuff for me. And I understand Colin Kaepernick wore socks about the police, and that's not good. But I'm always fascinated why anyone cares if these guys take a knee. In that, they're just guys who, as far as you're concerned, as far as you know them, are there to perform 16 weeks a year and throw a ball around. And I don't care what they do, as long as they're not, like, murdering people. Just take a knee, do whatever the hell you want. What do I care? Wipe your butt with the ball. What do I care?
You know, it's interesting, just listening back to that Kyrie Irving clip you just played. I remember when Rich and I spoke to him the first year he came to Boston, a year ago. That was one of the first things we asked him because his flat earth thing had been 3 or 4 months previous during the playoffs. And he kind of intimated that he was just messing with people and didn't believe it at all.
I don't know. I don't.
So, I mean, that kind of goes against what I just heard.
All I know is that it's that athletes and the ability that they have in this self-appointed narcissism that they have that they somehow make kids do all this crap is just awful. It just rings of just play. Play the sport. And you can do whatever you want. You can you stand there, you get as political as you want to. You can say whatever you want. You can make political ads. You can take knees. You can say the earth is flat. I don't know why anyone in their right mind would care. You just these people have all that the athletes are doing is they're there to entertain you by dribbling, skating, kicking, mm-hmm. or throwing their bodies around. I mean, the idea that this is like such a gigantic distraction to people, and maybe he's screwing around with all this stuff, but just the idea that athletes somehow have this. And they, by the way, with the Kaepernick stuff, it's not even like about kids. It's about people like just flipping out. It's Kaepernick. Who cares? He throws the football for a living.
Because he's got not necessarily the microphone, because you don't see him do interviews everywhere, but he's got the attention of the mass media.
Good. So what?
Mass media drives what people think.
Well, then
It's gotten presidents elected, Fred, has it not?
Well, yes, but they're the president.
I understand that.
There's a huge difference between, okay, if I'm on the Senate Judiciary Committee, I have an actual job to do that can affect the country. If I am someone who throws a football 16 weeks a year, I don't know why anyone in their right mind would care at all what they do. And by the way, if this is like the biggest, this reminds me of like Satanism and heavy metal, when like everyone got all up in arms about Satanism and heavy metal. And my whole point is, what do you care? Like what's the worst? If your kid comes home and he goes, like, I want to be satanic, other than never getting laid and having any friends, like, what are they going to do? Like make a pot of, like, evil stew?
Sorry, it's actually less dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they're not going to get a venereal disease.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're going to be in their room a lot, so you'll have, like, a good sense of where they're going.
No, but the other part of it is, Fred, the theory is still the same. I understand it's the president and thing, but you get a bunch of media outlets or you're on Facebook and a bunch of people who like the theories that are presented, and then all of a sudden it's a thing. You see it everywhere online.
I understand it, but when it involves the government and people in the government, that actually has a tangible result.
No, I understand
that. All right, John Jr., go ahead.
John. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so I just hope you realize that you have one of the worst conspiracy theorists, some really disgusting beliefs, and he works at your station.
Oh, do tell.
So he hasn't talked about it on the air, but if you run into him and you know, get a couple drinks in him and you start mentioning a few things, Sarge, he will talk your ear off about Bush brought down the towers. He thinks Obama is a lizard man, half man, half lizard. Just no real conspiracy like shadow government. He just thinks he's half lizard, half man.
All right, and so you're saying
he saves wrestling's real, that kind of thing?
Well, no, it goes beyond that. He thinks JFK, that was a big wrestling stunt. He was going to turn heel.
So he thought the JFK assassination somehow involved Bruno Sammartino or something like that.
So they dumped him before
Gene
he could
Ambrose,
turn.
You know, and JFK go way back, according to Sarge.
All right, so everything is, is he saying Vince McMahon kind of has run the world, the McMahon family has been in control of things, like, since back
according
in the 60s?
It's been the McMahons and the Rockefellers, and that's pretty much it. Those are your two powerhouse families.
That's crazy.
All right. And what do you think of Sarge on the air?
I got to be honest. I mean, just not as a joke, not, you know, I don't want to put him down. Piece of human garbage.
Thank you.
That's Thank the best you. Theory I think I've ever heard in my entire life, that JFK was dumped because he was going to turn heel.
Well, listen, John Jr. likes to call up and talk about Sarge.
Fantastic. Well, he was going to turn red, so they got rid of him. I can't stand
it. He was. He was going to go Bruno.
That's the reason for the shooting.
He was with Bruno Sammartino. And Bruno Sammartino was a hero.
They wanted to keep him from taking the belt. I understand.
Well, you know, he had a very powerful father. All right. Jeff Howe's going to join us.
See what Jeff thinks about this. I think his opinion might be valid.
Yes. No, Sarge's conspiracy theory is that you can get laid with all that wrestling stuff in your apartment. Be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Colts this Thursday night at Gillette Stadium. Jeff Howe going to join us.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich in just a matter of moments. Talking about 10 minutes, we will have tickets to Thursday night's game. The return of Jules. That's what I call him, Jules. Julian Edelman. But first, let's talk to a guy from The Athletic. His name is Jeff Howe. He's an author, and he has got a book that is quote-unquote co-written by Scott Zolak. If These Walls Could Talk, the New England Patriots stories from the New England Patriots sideline, locker room, and press box. Jeff Howe, hello.
What's up, guys? You don't have to treat me any differently now that I've written an entire book of words.
Well, listen, you are up there with the Hemingways of the world and certainly the Mitch Albums. Those Tuesdays with Maury books took me away.
I will say, and I did a little research on this last week. It might not be an official stat, but I'm pretty sure the last person from Lowell to write a book was Jack Kerouac. So I'm in good company.
That's right. And he was, in retrospect, so talented. All right, Jeff, have you ever tried to read one of those things again? Woof. All right, so Jeff, all he wanted to do was have sex with Neil Cassidy. All right, Jeff, so how does this book come into conception? Had you and Zolak been talking about this possibility? It is a fascinating combination of people. How does this all come together?
Honestly, somebody called me and asked if I liked the idea. I said, yeah. They said, well, then, you know, we want you to do it with Zolak. I said, well, that sounds like a fun time. And I called Zo. I said, what do you say we put a book together? And a couple conversations later, we decided to go through with it. It was pretty quick and easy and, you know, pain-free.
Yeah, you just sat there at the table, turned the recorder on, and said, go.
No, okay, no, that's not what I... How many actual things did Zolak either type, write, or communicate anything in any way that wasn't verbal?
You know, we'll leave the background stuff up to the imagination.
All right, so you basically transcribed Zolak, and then I imagine the editing process was one that was a little grueling.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the other people's job. I just put the words on the paper and let them edit away.
All right, so you are like Kerouac. Was it just one drug-fueled session where you just never stopped typing?
Yeah, it was more of a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas type of deal. But, you know, there was some Kerouac influence in there, too.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that book is out now, correct?
Well, yeah, as of today.
All right, so everyone go pick up that book with Jeff Howe and Scott Zolak. All right, the Miami game, you know, people were concerned about it, but Miami sort of showed their true colors. What did you make of Brady's performance in that game? Because, you know, people are relieved that the game was won, but there everything doesn't seem to be solved.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not perfect. It wasn't, you know, the two interceptions absolutely weren't on him. He got smoked on both of them. So the protection still needs to be better. Trent Brown still needs to, you know, show what he showed us in training camp. He allowed four quarterback hits on Sunday, which is a lot in one game. So, yeah, you know, Brady didn't have a good night in Detroit. It was certainly obviously better against the Dolphins. But there have been some missed opportunities, some missed throws that first drive. He got away with throwing a couple balls in traffic. That one that was for Gronk in the end zone, I mean, if it wasn't broken up, I think, by Alonzo, it probably would have been intercepted because it was behind Gronk. So there were, again, some forced balls. I wonder if some of that is from frustration from the protection. Some of it is, you know, maybe just getting down to his second or third read and not trusting the guys who are the fourth and fifth read to get open. So he's just kind of trying to jam it in there. to somebody that he does trust. You know, I think some of that will subside now that Edelman's back. But it's a work in progress for Brady. The last 2 weeks, I mean, I really didn't think he was good at all in Detroit. Sunday was better, but nowhere near perfect.
Okay, so now you have a lot of moving pieces heading into a really short week in a game about 48 hours from now. Patriots don't know if Rob Gronkowski is going to play Thursday night. And you mentioned getting Edelman back. He's a mammoth question mark. He's a 32-year-old slot receiver that's taken a lot of punishment, that's coming back off a torn ACL. What will the offense look like Thursday night?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because what is the timing going to be like with Edelman and Brady? I mean, even at training camp, there were times when, you know, they were just a fingertip off on a pass or whatever. And now he's coming in cold without, I mean, they're going to practice today. Their history on these Thursday games suggests they're going to have a walkthrough today. So basically, unless that changes, you're running with three consecutive walkthroughs before the game. So you're not really getting any live reps with Edelman. I mean, there's a long history of established trust between the two. But again, the timing isn't always necessarily going to be there. Now, as for what will Edelman look like, look, I thought he was making some really good strides in training camp to looking very much like himself. Now, how does that translate to game speed and coming off that injury and the PED suspension? So again, those are fair questions to have before we see it in action. But Edelman's on the short list of guys that I would trust to come back and look like himself, just because of, I mean, that's basically been his entire career, you know, his entire life of, you know, kind of proving people wrong and maximizing what he's got.
Do you know of like kind of the history of guys around his age coming back from that injury?
I mean, I really haven't done anything on that. No,
we'll get
I'm
on
sorry.
It.
Yeah, I was reading the book.
Well, I mean, yeah. So what? You're just telling the Athletic to go screw?
There's only so many hours of the day.
I know. Well, listen. I mean, you're going to be living off this book's revenue for the rest of your life, so I suppose that you have that kind of FU attitude. Sony Michel looked better. He looked more confident. What when you look at him and you look at the difference in his performance? Do you think it's just a matter of getting comfortable at the pace of the NFL?
Yeah, I think some of that comes into play, but a lot of it was just the blocking finally showed up for him. And there was some creativity with the run calls. There were a lot of plays in his first two games that were, I don't want to say set up to fail, but the numbers were really against him. I mean, they were predictable run situations. Defenses were cheating into the box. They weren't fearing the play action. In the occasions, just several occasions when he would run a route, they would cheat into the flat because that was really all the Patriots were sending him on. He wasn't targeted, of course, on Sunday, but just in terms of running the ball, I mean, you saw that three-run sequence in that first series when he ran, it was like 32 yards or whatever over the course of the three runs. There was a run that Brady changed to the right side that was more conducive to the blocking. He had three guys pave away for him. He got 9 yards. Then there was a toss to the left. Good blocking. He showed off his athleticism. And then there was a run to the right. I think it was off tackle. So that's what the Patriots do well. With this group of offensive linemen over the last several years, you know, these guys need to change up the direction, change up the speed, get the blockers out running, try to create those, I like to call them like odd man rushes when you got three blockers against two defenders, you know, stuff like that. I mean, that's how these guys try to run the ball. Some of the failed runs, or you know, the runs that really didn't gain. I mean, there were 17 of his carries that gained 3 yards or fewer, and those 17 gained 22 total yards. So there was a lot of blah on Sunday as well. But that was straight ahead I formation, just sort of go off the fullback, or you know, a dive play that didn't have a whole lot to it. So you know, they're still trying to get, I think, the timing in order. And, you know, the blocking has to be better, because when it is, he can show off, you know, who he is. And then, you know, I think there's a lot of criticism against the guy for having knee surgery in August, missing almost the entire training camp, the whole preseason, and the first regular season game, and then just expecting him to show up and be 100% healthy. The knee still isn't completely right. And, you know, this is a guy who is still trying to learn the offense, and I think that's partly why you're seeing some of these basic runs, because you know, he probably still isn't completely comfortable with the speed of how all these run blocking assignments sort of set up in front of him.
All right. The book is If These Walls Could Talk. New England Patriots stories from the New England Patriots sideline, locker room, and press box. And is Zolak, does he spill the beans?
How so? Probably.
In the term, does he spill the beans? It's a colloquialism. Does he?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, does he actually spill, you know, beans? It's that does he let you in on some inside stuff?
Oh yeah. Oh, there's a lot of good stuff in there, and I have some stories that I kind of tucked under my hat for a couple of years that we put out there. There's some good stuff. There's a lot. The Brady chapter is really good. There's a lot of untold stuff there. Just about, you know, I had an excerpt that we put on The Athletic today. It leads off with a party that the Patriots had right after Super Bowl 36. Really good Brady anecdote in there. There's some good Kentucky Derby stuff in there. Some soccer match stuff with Darrell Revis in the middle of the practice field. Another story, although, that I had written about this a couple of years ago when Brandon Browner punched Darrell Revis in the face in practice. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And the forward by Drew Bledsoe is worth the price of admission alone.
Okay. All right, Jeff Howell, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we appreciate it. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on Colts this Thursday night at Gillette, and we'll have tickets again coming up at 9:30 if you whiff this time. Zdeno Chara. Yesterday we had him over there at the Bruins Media Day. The gentleman that had us record him screwed up. But I am told that Rich has been in the lab for the last half hour making this thing wonderful. So Zdeno Chara showing a little personality yesterday. It was actually quite nice to see him that way. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Zdeno Chara from your Boston Bruins. He joins us. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you for having me.
Okay, so I noticed that now you are on Instagram. You are inspiring on Instagram. Now, what is your reasoning for doing that?
Well, I thought about it for quite a while, if I should or shouldn't do it. But I decided to do it just to be a little bit more accessible to the fans and share some of my, you know, maybe life away from the ring, some stuff that I do during the season, and hopefully some stuff I can inspire and motivate people.
Do you ever look at the comments and just say, like, I could kill you, and I don't, when you say these things to me, and if I ever saw you in person, I would beat you up pretty bad?
I read some of the comments, most of them are very positive. I haven't really saw any, you know, specific negative comments or something very harsh. You know, everybody's right to have their opinion, but you know, I think that I'm trying to focus what I try to set out there, and the rest of it, you know, I can't control.
That's a good way of looking at it, but it's completely false. The people on the internet are horrible people that are just living in caves and being awful. All right, so you, though, at the time, were not a Instagram guy, but are you aware of, like, a famous photo of you, and it shows that how good a father you are, that you're at Canobie Lake, and you were in a ride that's like the rooster ride with one of your children. You can barely fit in, and I thought, Zdeno, you're putting yourself into this ride. You're there with your kid. You're a good father.
Well, that's number one priority. Be a family man, be a good father and good husband. And I do remember that ride. It was a very sad day. We just lost 2013 Stanley Cup Finals. And I couldn't really tell my children why I wouldn't go. Even I didn't feel like it, but I did it for my children, and I remember that specific rooster ride, and yeah, I felt kind of like, okay, I should probably stay in here, just keep riding until they close the whole roller coaster. But yeah, you know what, those are kind of things that you're willing to sacrifice, and even it's a little joke on you, when people sees you, I'm okay, as long as my kids are having their father with them, and they can enjoy the day.
It's not so much a joke, it's just that you have this look on your face, because you're obviously very passionate about hockey, but you have this look on your face that could be twofold. You're every father who has to go on these stupid-ass rides, and then also you just got over something that was very painful. So I think it's something everyone could relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it happened to me one more time. I think it was somewhere in Orlando where I didn't fit because I was too tall. I think that... that shoulder bar couldn't close in on me because I was just too tall. And that was even more embarrassing. There was like a line of 200 people waiting, and they saw, you know, everything was delayed because 6'9" guy couldn't fit in. I had to stand up, walk through all those people. They were looking at you. Oh, I didn't fit. And I was kind of like feeling really embarrassed. But, you know, that's the way it goes.
Well, you know, it's a small price to pay for the success you've had.
All right, your training is legendary. It has been for a while. Each summer you try and do something seemingly to top yourself from the previous summer. What'd you do this summer that's a little different?
Nothing really that much different from past summers. I always try to reach certain limits and push my, you know, goals. It's not that I'm looking to get some crazy stuff or crazy exercises or, you know, some really heavy weights and prove something. I'm trying to train for specific goals, and that's hockey. Improve that in that area and reach the points where I know I hit the numbers where I need to be, and that shows me I'm ready for the season. So really crazy forms or exercises and weights. But what was that for? You know, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be probably interesting to see, but for me, I wouldn't do anything, just maybe risking injury.
How scientific does it get when you're training because of all the advances are right now? Do you train where there's a part where you're like, I'm going to go 80% capacity here, or I'm going to go 60% capacity here? Like, how scientific has it gotten over the last few years?
You know, the technology makes everything obviously more specific, and you can literally get lost in so many details and data. And I'm trying to stay a little bit away from it. You know, I think that I'm more like the old school. I try to write things down and see what worked for me, what didn't, and go back to what worked and what didn't, replace it with something that I believe it will. But trying to track every practice, you know, every session, and you know, tracking your heart rates, you know, measuring your watts and all that stuff, you can get lost. You can just, instead of focusing on a session, you start focusing on numbers and doing all those math sequences, and it's just not going to be working. At least it's not working for me. So I'm kind of the old school that I keep the track of all my training regimes over the past 25, 30 years and go back to what I did, what worked, and sticking with it.
What was it like being a kid? And I know your father was an athlete and training. How grueling was it as a kid, and how much different is it than what you're doing now?
It was. It wasn't easy. You know, like my parents, especially my father, being in that environment for a very long time and being very successful, he knew that he needed to push me. And it wasn't easy for young children, you know, young child to kind of being put in a situation where, okay, we're going to go train, we're going to go for a long run, we're going to go lift. And you see all your friends going to, you know, swimming pools, to movie theaters, and doing all that fun stuff. And, you know, you are here in the basement and lifting weights and running up hills and doing all that stuff. So it did take some sacrifices, but now I completely understand that he did it for a reason, and I'm very thankful he did that.
When you were a kid, though, did you kind of resent that? Because that's the... You know, when you see people doing other things and you're the one guy that's training this way, and obviously you can't really conceptualize that when I'm in my 40s, I'm still going to be playing hockey at a very high level. Was there a part of you that kind of resented that?
A little bit, yeah. You know, I loved it. It wasn't like I was doing something against my kind of like skin, or just like my hairs were kind of standing out when I heard like working out or running or biking, or... I loved it. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed that feeling when I did something and I saw that it was paying the difference. I was getting better. I was improving. I was getting faster, more agile, and And that's when it grabs you. And I was like, okay, you don't have to push me that anymore. I'm going on my own. I'm going myself. I go for a run. I go lift. I go do whatever you kind of wrote down for me. And early on, very early age, I developed that training mentality that I'm going to do my own training program. I'm going to write everything down, and I'm going to start to get to know my body. And from that point, just keep getting better and better.
At what point did your dad say, Zdeno, you know, I'm proud of you, this is all working, and, you know, all this hard work's paid off?
I'm sure he's thinking that, but, you know, he's not one of those guys. Pat me on the shoulder. He's going to be always, you know, pushing me and try to always get a little bit more out of me. And it didn't change, you know, like, I'm sure he's proud. I'm sure he's very happy. Sure. I'm sure he said that in a way, but, you know, he's that kind of a father that he always says, you know, like, there's other things you can still improve. There's always room to improve, and you should try that, you know, and I'm very thankful for that, because, you know, it kind of keeps me humble, keeps me kind of motivated, and always looking to, you know, improve and room to improve.
When you have your own kids, do you find yourself going like, all right, my dad was this way, maybe I'm going to tweak this a little bit and maybe tell them that they're doing okay occasionally?
Well, I'm actually the opposite. I'm telling them probably too much. Are you okay? You are doing great. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it's not so good. But, you know, I'm trying to be very supportive as much as I can. I want them to enjoy sports. I really want them to experience and explore the outdoor. I love the nature. I love the animals. So I want them to be, you know, outgoing. I want them to be, you know, humble, very polite, very grateful and thankful. So that's my goal, number one goal. You know, if they choose to play sports, I will support them 100%. If they choose not to, then I'm going to tell them, okay, there is a path that now you have to study, you have to do whatever you need to do to be successful in other parts of your life.
Well, Zdeno, obviously things are working, and congratulations on sticking with the team, and congratulations on the extension. And look forward to watching this year. It's an interesting life, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you about some of what goes on and what happened growing up.
All right, thank you guys for having me.
All right, it's 98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. It's Bruins Media Day.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your smart speaker knows a lot about Boston sports.
Stupid me.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We have Patriots tickets coming up at 9:30. Game against the Colts, Thursday night football. And then they play the following, not the following Sunday, but then they play the Sunday after next. And that is a
game, yeah. It's Sunday night football against Kansas City. And after watching what Mahomes did last night, right now, there's nothing he can't do. That's going to change. Yeah. He can't possibly be this good in his first full year as a starter. And Kansas City's defense still isn't exactly shutting teams down.
No, they're not good.
So, I mean, Kansas City and the Rams are obviously, excuse me, the best two teams in the NFL right now. Rams are better because they have the better defense far and away. Even though they're missing both cornerbacks, they still have the better defense and a better defensive line. But just for entertainment value, regardless of what happens with Kansas City this weekend, that's the game to watch. Maybe the game of the season, if the Patriots can, you know, win this one and get them to 3-2, and then, oh, it's the Patriots comeback. We've seen it before, but now they run into the next best thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, this is going to be fun. Going to be a lot of fun to see how Mahomes delivers on a Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. With the crowd going crazy and Brady on the other sideline, being a great game to watch.
All right. Well, coming up at 8:00, we've talked enough about what goes on at the city council meetings, and people are able to talk. And we had our own young Nick Jamelli, close to death Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Man with just a heart that's on the brink of at any time shutting down.
Heart of gold.
Hey, Nick, defective, can you run? Gold. Get on a mic, you idiots. We're on the radio.
You got the headphones?
Do you need the headphones, or is it playing in there?
You can hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you, can you run?
Yes.
Can you lift heavy objects?
They advise me not to do powerlifting, but now, I can lift heavy objects, yeah.
Is that a big lifestyle change for you?
Oh, it's a huge change in my life.
You had to give up the powerlifting lifestyle?
Yes.
All right. Do you have to eat any certain kinds of food?
I don't have a specific diet.
They didn't have you go vegan or anything?
No, they didn't.
Doesn't that seem to me to be a small mistake? You shouldn't alter his diet at all to keep the heart functioning correctly?
Yes, the only thing they said I have to limit myself on is anything with vitamin K.
It's like Special K?
What?
Like kale, spinach, that type of stuff because of it, because some of the medication that I take.
Okay, now how many pills a day do you take?
I take 7. Or 8.
Screw the diet.
All right. How many times a day do you have to take them?
What's that?
How many times a day do you have to take them?
I have to take twice a day.
Okay.
So you have one of those pill boxes like at Monday, Tuesday, yes. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
I have one in my bag right now, yeah.
Wow. Do you have any fun ones?
Yes, I do.
That you take on a daily basis?
Yes.
So are you pretty much, so you got a good buzz going pretty much all the time?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so are they pain pills?
They're not. Some are. I am actually slowed on taking those. I don't need them anymore. So,
are you addicted to opiates?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Should you be driving?
Yeah, you're driving all around. All
it's a good
high,
question. Yeah,
all high in opiates.
Yeah.
So you're fine. You can drive around.
Yeah, I can drive around.
You ever crush those sons of bitches and snort them on up?
Not yet, but you're giving me some good ideas.
That's the idea, yeah. Baby.
Nice.
Get that ticker. See, let's take that thing to the brink.
Let's give this thing a test.
Let's see if we can drive that around the block. It's pedal to the metal. All right, Nicholas, thank you.
How's your dad doing? Your dad doing good?
What's that?
Is your dad doing good?
Yeah, he's doing great.
Okay. Nick said, I have a picture of Dad's recliner. Would you like to see it? And I said, I don't think I do.
No, I don't want to see your dad. I never want to see a picture of your dad.
Well, I'll eventually see your dad. I mean, that's just going to happen. But I don't think I want to see the fabled recliner. I have this image in my head, and I don't think I want to ruin it.
I don't think it would.
No, I don't want to. No, you don't know. It would. I don't ever want to meet your dad. I don't ever want to see.
You put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
All right.
So, by the way, apparently his father got a radio to keep right next to the recliner so he could listen to our show every morning.
Nice. He does.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. In case we might mention him.
Yeah, he listens every morning. Okay. He gets up early, as you know.
Yeah, this is like his midday show. He's like, I only have 4 hours to drink in.
You are a dick, you.
As soon as the show's over, only got a shake for... White knuckle it for another 4 hours.
You have dick tendencies.
The first Manhattan's at 3, correct?
3 o'clock.
Three yeah. o'clock's first one. Second
yeah, give or take.
Second one is.
Second one's at 3:01. All right, Rich, so young Nicholas went out.
He did, and we have a brand new bit that we'll be debuting just after the headlines.
All right, and here are the headlines, no commercials.